Well, the phones are all locked up, and as I understand it, a few people are using aliases coming up this hour for the purpose of being more candid about their situation or the situation of somebody that they love. We'll get to all of your calls and questions for Dr. Irving Kirsch, the author of The Emperor's New Drugs. We'll get to those right away. And if you get a chance, go online. You'll see some fun stuff with the news section at coasttocoastam.com. And you can also find out how to get Streamlink and go back and listen to the show from the beginning. And if you're feeling blue tonight, not depressed, but if you need a good chuckle, I can grab my blog at coasttocoastam.com and take a look at the English bobsledding team. It's a great video. Make you laugh. It's Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. So we pick it up with, let's start with the person who's been waiting the longest, Brenda, east of the Rockies in Old River, Texas, for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Brenda?
Hello there.
Hi.
This is such a great program. Dr. Kirsch, thank you so much for coming out to this. I've been trying to tell my doctor for the past year the same thing that you're saying, that all it is side effects. And, in fact, he thinks I'm on them right now and thinks I'm doing so well. I haven't taken a one. I mean, I tried it, you know, but I'm on a medication that's supposed to interferon, that's supposed to, there's suicides with people that take this medicine that they have me on.
Right.
And, actually, if I took the antidepressants like I'm supposed to, they would make me commit suicide. Because of the side effects. And he's got me, he thinks I'm on one right now. I hope he's not listening. It's called a new one. I don't know if I can say a name on the air or not. Prestique. He said, oh, this one has less side effects. I wouldn't know. I haven't tried it. He said, well, you have to give it a chance. Well, the only chance is you've got to get right with yourself. I mean, everybody's going to have their ups and downs, but you are so right. And I thought I was just finally, I thought maybe this was all in my mind, but I agree 100% with you.
Well, you're on the cutting edge. Go ahead, doctor.
I was just saying thank you. I appreciate the struggle that you're going through with that. And I just wish you were in a position where you could have a more open relationship with your physician and be comfortable letting him know your experience.
Well, doesn't that speak to kind of another problem that comes up with physicians? And this is also something which we're seeing a lot of, and I don't know whether the same is true in England, but the surveys about the number of minutes that a doctor now will spend typically with a patient really doesn't get to know the patient like they want to. And they pretty much have sort of a top-down authority relationship with the patient. Here's what you need. I have the knowledge. You do this. It'll get better. And if you don't do that, then there's a frustration on the part of the physician and not a sense of, oh, well, I need to adjust to help this patient at all.
I think that's absolutely right. And one good part of what's often called the placebo effect is the relationship between the doctor and the patient. There does have to be enough time, there has to be enough caring, and there has to be someone who's willing to listen and communicate that they've been able to listen and able to hear, not just listen, but able to hear what their patients have to say. I've been to great doctors, and I've been to terrible doctors, I have to say, and it's really a question of openness, listening and caring, and time.
All right. First-time caller Lisa is in Florida on Coast to Coast for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Lisa?
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Kirsch. Well, first thing I want to say is, Ian, if you take these antidepressants, you can just, well, for me, forget about sex. Completely.
Oh, really?
Oh, completely.
That's your experience on that?
I mean, it's the last thing on my mind.
Right.
But what I wanted to ask the doctor, because I've been taking three different things for a long time, and I said to myself, I feel the same. Mm. They're not changing. They're not helping me. So I figured this is what I wanted to ask the doctor. I stop them, not all at once.
Yeah.
You know, I figure I'm a doctor. So I stop them very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I started hallucinating.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends asked me and said, "What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You don't sound right. You don't look right.
Mm.
You're not making any sense."
Mm.
And it was the scariest thing I ever went through. I mean, for anybody that's taking them, you have to be so careful. Am I right?
Yeah. What happened then? How did you stop that? How did you get out of that terrible state?
Well, I called my doctor
mm-hmm.
because I was going out of my mind.
Yep.
And he said, I don't believe you did this. You're going to kill yourself. I said, no, I'm not. He said, get right back on them
mm-hmm.
now. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay now. But, boy, I went off them so slowly, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you go off them.
Yeah, there's a book by an author by the name of Glenn Mullen. He's on the staff at Harvard University, and he's written a book to help patients and their doctors figure out how to go off antidepressants without kicking in some of these withdrawal syndromes. Now, whether that's what was happening with you or not, I don't know, but it's a very informative book. I believe the name is Joseph Glenn Mullen. You might try looking that up and taking a look and see how what he is recommending, how that and his information, how that fits with your experience, and then talking about that with your doctor. But it's important, if you're going to try altering medical treatment, to do so in consultation with your doctor. I'm a firm believer of that.
I was actually checked that story I mentioned to you before about the case of somebody that was claiming that their entire sexual orientation had changed as a result of being on these antidepressants, and that they actually got very sexually active for a period that they could not explain. And I found I found an article here that was posted in October of 2008, and it was interesting. It was just all about that exact same thing about that. So that's what I say before about the sexuality part. I have no personal experience with that, and I'm certainly willing to stipulate that for most people it's a loss of sexual desire, but for other people, at least a minority, it seems to be something that they did not anticipate, suddenly increased sexual activity, and in a way that they never would have predicted about themselves. Lynn is in Phoenix on Coast to Coast on a wild card line for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Lynn?
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Fine. Hi.
Hi. I have several comments to make. First of all, I lived in a D.C. area and was very close friends with somebody who was familiar with how the pharmaceutical industry and the FDA pretty much sleep in bed together.
Mm.
And most of the heads of the drug companies or people within various departments, it's kind of their dream job upon retirement or leaving these companies to become a board member of the FDA. Just basically to make sure that their drugs get through the market. And in my own personal studies, on another note, of, you know, the drug industry, especially the psychotropics, you know, have just, it's amazing to me. There is a lot of hiding of what they're doing. I mean, the FDA definitely pushes through so many drugs. And just as an example, Paxil is one of the drugs that's on the market. And now I'm seeing in the market area on television, you know, that there are major issues and lawsuits that are being promoted by attorneys just recently on Paxil for serious side effects. And my contention is that, I mean, and I've studied this a lot, my contention is that these drug companies do know what's going on. The studies are done, and I've seen the surveys on this. The studies are done with certain patients to produce certain outcomes because they do know that we have, you know, different pathways that affect these drugs. So they're very set up and staged in the studies that they do.
Okay. Dr. Kirsch?
Well, certainly, one of the things that happens in all of these studies is that people who are the most likely to respond to placebo are screened out of them, and they're also people who are least likely to respond to treatment are screened out. So the studies are designed in a way to increase the likelihood of detecting some kind of a drug effect. Now, that's part of what I found so shocking is this, the drug company studies that are designed to maximize the likelihood of finding an effect. If they can't find a decent size effect, then there's probably no real effect there to be found at all.
Okay. Nina is in St. Louis on a wild card line for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Nina?
Hey, guys. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Well, that previous call couldn't have been more perfect for mine. I was kicked out of a study that was done on Zoloft.
How about
because
that?
Because I started showing suicidal effects.
So they didn't want you in the study?
Mm-mm.
For you, or did they ask you to get off the drugs because they didn't want you to commit suicide, obviously?
Okay, well, I went into it for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
All right. Was on Zoloft for probably 4 or 5 months, doing fine. Then came the blind part of the study, and everybody was split up into, you know, a placebo or continued on with the drug.
Right.
After about, it was either 1 or 2 months after that that I went back in and started filling out my little questionnaire, which you filled out every time you went in, which was, do you have any inclination to hurt yourself, anyone else? And they ask you that a half dozen different ways. And anyway, I started checking yes for the first time, and was shocked when the doctor pulled me into his office. He informed me, he says, I'm sorry, but you no longer fit the criteria for our study any longer. Here's 3 months worth of Zoloft. You were in the placebo group. And you're going to have to find your own doctor to get a prescription for this.
They said you were in the placebo group.
Yes. So what had occurred was the withdrawal symptoms that happen when you go off of the drug, the severe
right.
withdrawal symptoms, it's a serotonin storm. And maybe Dr. Kirsch can explain that, how
yeah,
that works.
Because Dr. Kirsch, how would you explain this to Nina?
Well, as she's saying, there are effects that can occur when you go off the drugs, when you're taking a serotonin altering drug and you suddenly go off it, there can be a series of side effects, and the feelings that might lead you to consider suicide can be part of it. Sometimes it very much resembles depression. Typically, the onset of those tend to be fairly quick. It's hard to speak about any one particular case and any one particular person's experience, but we do know that going off of antidepressants can trigger withdrawal symptoms.
Okay, but wait. I'm confused about something. I thought she said that the doctor said, even though she was identifying I'm having suicidal tendencies, the doctor said, well, you were in the placebo group. How
right.
could the placebo be causing suicidal tendencies?
Because she was, she may have been on the drug group before. It depends on the design of the trial. It sounds like it was probably what's called a relapse prevention trial, where they're taking people who have been assigned to the drug group in the first part of the trial and have done well, and then randomize them to either stay on the drug or to be put on placebo, and that's done double blind. So then they are taken off the drug, some of them, in order to see what happens when you do that. From the time periods that she described, it sounds like that could be what was going on.
Ree is in Salt Lake City on a wild card line on Coast to Coast for Dr. Irving Kirsch.
Good morning, Ian. Good morning, Dr. Kirsch.
Good morning.
My name is Ree, and I'm 47 years old. And when I was 22, I was finally diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I was in the hospital for a month and a half, which I found out was also manic depressive because I have really high highs and really low lows. Now, this was after years and years of trying to, let's say, leave the planet because I was that depressed. There's a difference between depression because of the economy and depression because you can't explain why you're depressed. And so my meds have been working for me. I've been taking them, and when I'm not on them, that's when I end up in the hospital again. But my main question for you was, why do you think it's psychotropic drugs that are being targeted as placebos? This is the whole thing that just doesn't really sit well with me.
Okay. First of all, let me say that all of the comments that I have made and what I address in the book have to do with antidepressants for the treatment of major depression, not for the treatment of what's called bipolar disorder or manic depression. That's a whole different thing, and I really have nothing to say about that. There very well may be a drug effect that's very important, that's very large in the treatment of bipolar disorder. I haven't studied those data, and so I can't speak to them at all. What I'm speaking to is the use of antidepressants for major depression, which what they're primarily targeted for, and there we see a placebo effect that's very large and a very small, bordering on non-significant, in clinical terms, non-meaningful drug effect. And that's just what the data show us. That's right. Why we focus on them.
Miles in Anaheim, California, on a wild card line for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Miles?
Hi, Dr. Kirsch. Hi, Ian. I was curious if Dr. Kirsch has ever suffered from depression.
I haven't suffered from major clinical depression. I have been depressed. I have the normal ups and downs and times that I feel sad and times that I feel great. I've worked with a lot of depressed people. I used to have a psychotherapy practice when I lived in the U.S. And when I was teaching at the University of Connecticut. And I worked with people who were mildly, moderately, severely, and very severely depressed. And so I know what it's like to work with these people and to live with these people.
Okay, because I've been diagnosed for the last 28 years, misdiagnosed until 3 years ago. I've been a guinea pig, basically, and then I was finally diagnosed as bipolar type 2. So that's, I was kind of curious, and, definitely enjoyed listening to you and looking forward to reading your book. So,
and again, don't automatically generalize what I've said about the antidepressants for major depression to treatment for bipolar disorder. It may be similar, it may be very different, and you can't just say, well, this is what it is with depression. It must be the same story with bipolar.
Let me see, just by any chance, we can get Tom in before the bottom of the hour break. Tom?
Oh, thank you, and Doctor, for doing his job. I'm really grateful for. I've had my own battle with PTSD and suicide and depression myself. But I had a couple questions for you, and I'd like to take it off air. But first, I had a statement. My own treatment. I was diagnosed with Reiter's syndrome. I was on antibiotics for a year, and then avoiding the toxic chemicals and changes in diet was 7 weeks to emotional recovery. A book by Dr. Joanne Matthew Larson.
Okay, we're going to run out of time here.
Okay, there's a peer-reviewed journal from Environmental Health Perspective about toxic chemicals being the main cause of mental illness, and then also there's a biomonitoring bill going through the Congress right now to start testing people for toxic chemicals because they've checked less than 6% of them. You could find it on a blog, Toxic Reverend blog.
Let's do that. We'll get to that coming up. Tom, I appreciate that. Dr. Irving Kirsch, when we come back, will you address that issue of the just where Tom has it there about toxic chemicals causing depression, the relationship between toxic chemicals. Have you read anything about that in any of these surveys when we come back? On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Well, there are lots of things online about the relationship between toxic chemicals and depression. We'll see what Dr. Irving Kirsch has to say about that. And maybe, too, it's not research for now, but also for a future Coast to Coast show. We'll get back to your questions and comments, though, whether or not you suffer from depression or not. Dr. Kirsch's book, The Emperor's New Drugs, indicates it's the placebo effect. It's your belief in the antidepressants that makes the rain go away. Next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Rebecca is in Houston on Coast to Coast for Dr. Irving. Oh, wait, sorry. Rebecca, yes. Hang on to that thought. I forgot to give Dr. Kirsch. I got all excited. Forgot to ask Dr. Kirsch about the toxic chemicals first. I'll be right back. Rebecca, don't go anywhere. Dr. Kirsch, so Tom's question before the break there about the effect of toxic chemicals. Did you see much of that in your studies at all on depression?
I haven't. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, and it's certainly plausible that toxic chemicals or just about anything else could have an effect on depression. It's certainly not the answer to what causes depression, but I haven't looked into the research on toxic chemicals and depression carefully, and so I can't really comment on it more than that.
I wonder whether, and this is just, you know, two guys talking, I wonder whether you were looking for a group that might be affected, might be changed. If people had a high amount of toxicity in their system, then by introducing something like an SSRI, or I wonder whether they might enjoy a benefit from that. That might be one of the weird, you know, instead of the depression being caused by the serotonin levels, but it may be a depression caused by just toxicity in the system.
That's, you know, anything is possible until you study it. The thing we need to do is identify people in clinical trials and see who they are. I suppose if there's a subgroup who are doing well because their depression is caused by toxic chemicals, one of the things you might want to do is find out why are they getting exposed to these toxic chemicals and what can be done about that.
Right. A lot of occupational thing, I would imagine. Right. Rebecca's in Houston on Coast to Coast. Thank you for your patience. You're talking with Dr. Kirsch. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Hi. The book sounds wonderful. I'm 52 years old. I have been depressed for as long as I can remember, even as a child. Mm-hmm. I was never treated until I guess I was in my early 20s with tricyclics.
Right.
And in therapy, talk therapy, and I seemed to do all right, and I got better, I thought, and I got off the medication, and I did all right, and I had some more depression maybe 10 years later, and the doctor put me on the new ones, the SSRI. I hated it. I just couldn't deal with it, and I decided that I just wasn't going to take these drugs, and that I had lived with depression and I could learn to live with it, you know, and maybe with talk therapy. But recently I became homeless and I had to go to a behavioral place in town for free service, and they wanted to put me on SSRIs because, of course, I was depressed. I said, well, everybody would be depressed if they're homeless. Situation.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And I'm not going on that medication. And I said, you know, give me Elavil. That worked for me a long time ago.
The tricyclics?
Yeah. And they said, no, nobody prescribes that. We're not going to do that. You're going to go on this. And I said, no, I'm not. How do you not sound crazy? Every doctor I've ever been to has always wanted to put me on depression medication. And I tell them that I do better dealing with it myself than with medication.
Okay. Well, let's give Dr. Kirsch a chance to respond to that, because I think you've brought up already three great questions in there.
Okay.
Irving, go ahead.
Yeah, one great question is giving patients choice. People do better if they're empowered. People do better when they have some say into what kind of treatment that they get, and when their doctors listen to them and take their preferences into account. So that's one thing. I was interested to hear that talk therapy seemed to be part of what helped before, and then I wondered, well, Maybe that might help again. Sometimes we're just too quick to reach for the pill. It seems like the easy solution. In the long run, if you need the pills to maintain functioning, it can be the most expensive solution also.
Right. But you had, she mentioned the tricyclics, this, the original class of antidepressant medications. Right. She wants to go back on them again, and they won't let her. Do they still make them?
Yeah, they still make them, and people are still prescribed tricyclics. They are not, as a group and for people as a whole, they're neither more nor less effective than the newer antidepressants. They do tend, as a group, to have more severe side effects than the SSRIs, but that never speaks to any particular individual's experience, and there still are certainly prescriptions written for tricyclic medication.
And how do you talk to a doctor about that without sounding crazy? I would say bring in a copy of Dr. Irving Kirsch's book. I know financially you may not be in a good place maybe right now yet, Rebecca, but at least go to the library and print out from Amazon.com the first couple of pages from the book, which you can do,
or print
out the cover if the library has. The book doesn't come out till next week here, but when your library gets it, be able to show it to your doctor and say, look, this is why I don't want to do that. And he'll have greater respect, I hope, for your opinion on that. Joe, first-time caller line on Coast to Coast. Joe?
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hi. You're talking with Dr. Irving Kirsch.
Hi, Dr. Kirsch. I have a question. Did you in your study do any did you do a study on weather, on how people are affected by the weather?
No, excuse me. I didn't do any of the studies myself. These were all studies that were done by the drug companies. And they're the studies that the drug companies sent to the FDA when they were getting their drugs approved. And what I did was to get the data from the FDA and analyze those data.
Have you heard anything along those lines about how weather does affect people?
Like, there's a disorder called seasonal affective disorder in which people can become depressed during different seasons, and that might be less lead to changes in weather.
Hey, yes. Joe, have you heard that the number one treatment for that is the UV lamp thing? Right?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
Have you tried that?
Yes, sir. In fact, that's kind of odd that you brought that up, because I've been suffering for about 21, 22 years now. And like the doctor said, you know, you have to find a positive place to go. And my positive place to go through depression was through exercise, running and marathons and triathlons. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I became so bad that I felt that I looked bad in front of people. So I would kind of cover up my depression through, you know, either going to a team bed and looking good or through exercise or whatever. But I just wanted to say that depression is just overwhelming, you know.
Yeah.
It's something you can't put a Band-Aid on.
I know. I know. And I know it's been tough for you. Are you glad you did the exercise route more than doing the drugs?
Well, I do both. I try to fight through both, and then it becomes a psychological thing in your mind. Do I really need these drugs, or should I just run? Because you think, wow, I feel great when I'm running, and when I'm done, because you achieve something, you're happy. You know.
Well, how about talk therapy, Joe?
That's great.
You've done a lot of that. Okay,
yeah.
I appreciate. I'm glad you shared. I think that, and of course, never do anything without consulting your physician. But you might find that the drugs might end up just have been an expensive experiment that may not, in the end, be giving you the benefit that just the running alone would do. John is in Lamont, Pennsylvania, wildcard line on Coast to Coast for Dr. Irving Kirsch. John?
Hey, good evening, Ian. Hey, have your screener give Rebecca my phone number. I'll give her some talk therapy. We'll talk about how desperate these doctors are to push these drugs.
Yeah. Talk about that. You mean this is in your experience too, then, too, John?
Oh, my, yes. I wanted to suggest something for future studies. That you might want to look at. I think I understand how these drugs operate. I mean, maybe not on a biochemical level, but at least mentally what they do. And just a quick background, Ian, you really got my fangs out on this tonight, because what happened to me is I had severe dehydration. I was having heart problems, and I lost 50 pounds of weight in 3 months without trying. And I was having breathing difficulties, and it turned out it was a combination of dehydration, and apparently I had side effects from a blood pressure medication they had just recently put me on. And anyway, all they wanted to do is push antidepressants. I was prescribed Prozac and Zoloft, and that was it. I was told I was, you know, I was just depressed. And, well, when I finally kept ending up in the emergency room and was told that, you know, you're dehydrated. You can't keep coming in here every couple of weeks to, you know, get another right. 3 liters of fluid pumped into you. You should see a doctor about this. And I was, oh, gee, I thought I was.
Right.
But what I wanted to suggest, from hearing the few people that I have that had any success at all with SSRIs, in combination with all the what seem to be severe problems that people have, Ian, the issues you were bringing up, you know, all the way from the school shooters to right. You were talking about the sexual obsessives that
right.
you know may suddenly be an issue in some people. I think what these drugs do simply is remove inhibitions. Things that people normally would not have acted out on, may have thought of, may have wanted to do, but wouldn't have in a million years actually done. I think these drugs simply remove inhibitions, and in a few people, maybe, and this is what I wanted to suggest for further study, if you do that, that, you know, maybe that's the group of, you know, rare group of people that these can actually have any effect on. But
all right.
I think the danger is that, you know, you're playing with fire and you remove too much inhibition, or you remove inhibition in the wrong person that may have some violent or other kind of inclination, and it's disastrous.
All right. And good, interesting thought. I'm glad you jumped in. Thanks, John. Dr. Kirsch, anything you want to comment on that?
Well, it is an interesting talk, and it was very interesting to hear how exercise seemed to help in managing it, and who knows whether the antidepressants added to that or detracted from
right.
it. There's some evidence that it might detract from the effects of exercise on depression. But I remember when treating depressed patients that for many, many people, they would go out, they would start running, or they would do some other kind of exercise, and they reported immediate benefits that were really at times astounding. It becomes an excellent way of helping to control mood problems that may be produced by who knows by adverse life.
Right.
Maybe by some toxic chemicals, but exercising can be a tremendous gift.
Joy is in Santa Cruz on a wild card line on Coast to Coast for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Joy?
Good morning, Dr. Kirsch and Ian. First, just before I get to the main reason I call, I just wanted to mention that one thing we might want to do is cluster studies to find out if people who have depression in certain areas are near toxic chemicals.
Mm.
Okay.
I think it would be a worthy pursuit to look at.
That would be a very interesting thing to do. I agree.
But I used to have panic attacks, and I had them because I was exposed to Lyme disease, which plays with the endocrine system and plays with the thing that makes your heart race.
Okay.
Anyway, so for a while there, I was on Xanax, and I found after a certain point, I was getting too dependent on Xanax. So I started backing off on how much I took. I cut it down to half. I cut
right.
it down to a quarter. And then I just carried the bottle in my purse. And I didn't have any more panic attacks.
Just by having it there if you needed it took away the need to have it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that too.
I'm wondering if maybe an opposite way of looking at drugs, just having it there, just in case you think you need it.
Yeah,
you know, you're not alone in that. And I've heard stories like that, where just having something in one's purse that will, or one's pocket or one's wallet that you know you can do, and then you never use it.
Robin is in Oakland, California, on Coast to Coast for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Robin?
Hi, Ian, Dave, Tiamat, and so do I.
Thank you.
And hi, doctor. How are
hi.
You?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I wanted to ask you, do you know offhand whether or not people who have taken SSRIs are any more likely to develop fibromyalgia?
I don't know. I have not seen that as a risk factor or as a side effect of taking SSRIs. It's certainly not on the list. It's a fairly long list of potential side effects that are published in the information leaflets that are packaged sometimes with the medications. I'm not aware of that. It doesn't happen, but I'm not aware of it.
I'm glad Robin brought up fibromyalgia. A lot of doctors think of that as a phantom disease. They think of it as something which isn't really happening to the body, and so, you know, they get, but some people, especially the women I know that suffer from it, they have found comfort in taking certain types of painkillers. And I actually thought of fibromyalgia when you were talking about some painkillers having a placebo effect, and I wondered whether there's some, you know, footsie on that with that when it comes to fibromyalgia. We'll have to wait for another time for that. Michael is in Eugene, Oregon on Coast to Coast for Dr. Irving Kirsch. Michael?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Dr. Kirsch. Definitely another great show. I'm definitely going to order your book. I have a great question. It's interesting how some of your sponsors, commercials tonight, are about curing clinical depression and anxiety, and I'm sure they're being inundated with calls this evening. And let me say that it's like one of the things that's a good treatment for me is listening to your shows.
Okay. Well, glad to hear that. Mentally stimulated.
It really is, and it keeps me company at night when I am feeling alone and depressed. I was told by a psychiatrist years ago that approximately 80% of the population in the country is on some form of prescription drugs, and it's like I've asked a couple other people that, and they say it's true. And I was wondering if you knew what percentage is for depression, and also.
All right, let's get an answer to that one, Dr. Kirsch. What do we know about that?
About 15% of all drugs that are prescribed in the U.S. are prescribed for depression.
And what about 80% of the country being medicated at one time or another?
I haven't heard that figure, but that would sound right to me. I would be surprised if it wasn't even higher. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't even
International higher. Line, Tanya in British Columbia, the last minute we have, but I know you've been hanging on, so we can squeeze you in here real fast, Tanya, if you can keep it short.
Okay, I've been severely depressed for about 10 years, and every time my depression gets worse, they keep bumping up my medication, and I want to find out how to get off of it.
Yeah, how to get off of it, you need to talk with your physician. The pumping up of medication, there doesn't seem to be much of a relationship between the dose of the antidepressant and its therapeutic benefit. That much is pretty clear on the clinical trials, but you can't just get off of antidepressant medication on your own. You have to do that carefully. You have to do it in consultation with your doctor, and you have to find an alternative, whether it be talk therapy, exercise, self-help books like David Burns' Feeling Good, an excellent book that's been tested in clinical trials. All of them are excellent. But you have to do something.
Tanya, I'd say step one, get a new doctor. I don't know if you can, but because I know you're in Canada and I don't know how the system works, but I mean, that may be the first thing. Get a new conversation partner anyway on your depression. Dr. Irving Kirsch, thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it greatly. Thank you for having me on, Ian.
You were delightful. The Emperor's New Drugs, Exploding the Antidepressant Myth. Highly recommend to people who are in this category to get Streamlink and listen to the show from the beginning. I think it's great. Grab the book when it comes out. Should be available very shortly. If you order it online, they'll get it to you right away. Deus te amat, and I do too.